Welcome to BL Talk, where we discuss issues of importance. These are the matters of concern to minor attracted people in general and boy lovers in particular. Join us every week for a new discussion. Now, here's your host.
Welcome to BL Talk, the weekly podcast where we discuss issues important to maps in general and boy lovers in particular. This week's topic is dealing with your YF's parent, mom versus dad. Having a young friend is different from having an adult partner in many ways, one of the most significant being that you're not just befriending him. In most cases, you have to befriend his whole family, specifically his mom and or his dad. While some BLs do try to keep the relationship a secret from the parents, most BLs actually desire a place in the family unit of the boy. We want his parents to know us and accept us. And that being the case, we have his parents to contend with. There are usually two scenarios there. One being a single mom, two being a mom and a dad. We don't typically see a single dad scenario. That's pretty rare. So it's either the mom by herself or it's the mom and the dad, which brings us to the topic, who would you rather deal with as the decision maker, the gatekeeper for the boy in your relationship with him? Would you rather deal with his mom or his dad? And why? Who's typically more permissive and who's typically stricter? Another way to phrase it might be, who's going to be less suspicious of you and your intentions? Who would you rather have to deal with? Now, some BLs I know have not had a YF before and would have to approach this topic purely hypothetically, but I believe everyone here has experience with the situation and probably have strong opinions on it. And so today on the panel, we have a Boys XO, Wolf Runner, and Dragon Lover. And we'll be hearing from Nicholas on a recording he made separately, as he couldn't be here today but still wanted to participate. So I want to thank him for that, and I want to thank you guys for being here. And like I said, as I understand it, each of you has had young friends in the past and had to deal with the parent or the parents. So let me start off with you, Dragon Lover. What was your experience with your young friend's mom or dad? I know you had a major relationship to speak of. But I don't know about, did he have a mom or a dad or both?
Okay. Victor, he had a single mom. He is the product of a mixed marriage, racially mixed marriage. Dad took off to Florida, never saw him again. Mom was attending Narcotics Anonymous meetings that I was kind of forced to go to, even though I was not on drugs. That's a whole other story. But that's how I met his mom. Because she would bring him along with her, is not to leave him alone in the house. So she just seemed
kind
like
of befriended her first.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, okay. She kind of pushed me out. She came over to me and offered me her number. She said, you know, hey, if you want to chat or talk or do coffee or something, you know, feel free. And I said, sure. Cool, thanks. And I took her up on the offer, and it turns out she lived not even a quarter of a mile away from the recovery house they were making me stay at. So I could walk to her house easily.
Well, that's convenient.
So after many months of getting to know her, getting to know Victor, getting to know his sister Bianca and his older brother Eddie, she finally asked me to move in. She said, you know, we could use some help out with the bills. Need some extra money. If you want to move in, you know, and get out of that recovery house, I said, hell yeah. And I was in.
Right?
I was in, man. And so, yeah, Bernadette was a real sweet girl to deal with. I liked her. I really did.
So you actually became part of the family, like,
yes,
in every way.
I was included in family decisions, yes.
Oh, that is an unusual situation. But, you know, like I've seen dealing with boy lovers, that there's every type of situation imaginable, you know. No two are alike. And like with yours, that's one of the rarest, but most preferable. And because that helped you out in your life a lot as well. Not having to live in the recovery house anymore. Mm. And being a part of the family.
Yeah.
Literally
yeah.
living with them.
Part of a family again, because my own family turned their backs on me after
right.
I got the kids and all that.
That's sad.
And then they kind of picked me up. You know, It was really cool.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And at the core of it was, well, your relationship with her, but also your relationship with Victor.
Yes.
Was at the core. Now, how old was he?
He was 9 at the time. When
okay.
I first met him, he was 9. He was about 10 when I moved in.
Oh, I see. Okay. So he was at an age where she really wanted you to be there, like to help, to guide him.
Yeah.
And, to be like a older brother or father figure, or a mixture of the two.
Yeah, because he had an older sister beyond that. And Eddie was his older brother, but he was never around. So there was me.
Right, he kind of took up that role.
Yeah, definitely. And I was happy to do it.
Yeah, yeah. With my first young friend, his name was Mike, and he was 10, and he lived in the same apartment complex as me, and just right across the courtyard. And he would be out there often, like playing with friends, and his mom and his dad. He had a stepdad, and his mom and his stepdad would be out there like barbecuing and things. So I got to know them as neighbors, and at first I couldn't believe how easy it was. With his mom, especially at first, like she would be like, "Oh, Mike is up there. If you want to go talk to him or go hang out with him." And his dad, I couldn't believe, also was very easier than I expected at first. Like, because we would go to play soccer at the schoolyard down the way, and I remember the first time that I went to go because Mike invited me to come and said, "Just come on over and knock on the door and ask for me." And I was hesitant to do that because I was afraid that the dad, especially, he seemed like the strict type, and he actually was. But I was surprised that he was so like accepting of me at first, and very easily. He was like, "Oh yeah, he's right here. You can go." And I was like, "Wow, this is easier than I thought." You know, just start to run into problems more with Mike's misbehavior, and that got his strict dad. To start putting him on restriction more, and meaning I couldn't see him as much. And then he would do things like come and see me anyway, even though he didn't have permission to, and that would upset his dad, because his dad was very strict. And I think if one of them was suspicious of me, which they weren't, but if they were to be, it would be him more. I think that is probably a case. I think, like, let me ask you, Dragon, if there was a dad in the picture, would you, hypothetically, would you think it'd be different?
Like,
do you think that he would be more strict, like more suspicious?
I'll be honest here. I did meet his dad. His dad's name is Tommy, and I've met him a few times. He was a nice guy. He really was. I mean, he was
okay. Good.
And all that, but I think I would still prefer to deal with Bernadette.
Well, yeah, especially because in that case you were friends with her initially.
Yes.
But like in my case, I met the parents as an extension. I met the boy first, and then the parents came after that. But I kind of had to like his, I had to make friends with them separately. Like with his dad, he invited me one time to come and do some work with him, and he was going to pay me, and it was to help a friend of his move out of a building and into a house that, and so we had that time to connect. You know, it was just me and him, and we went and we did that, and he even actually invited me over one time when it was just him, just to come hang out with him and to talk. I think he was kind of like checking me out, you know, like it was kind of like the interview, you know, because if I was going to keep, you know, seeing his son, quote unquote, then, you know, there's a lot of unspoken stuff, but that was the way it was. Like if I was going to keep seeing his son, he wanted to know better who I was. So he invited me over with just me and him to talk. And, you know, we bonded over, we liked the same kind of movies and music and stuff like that. And so that helped a lot. But let me move on to Wolf Runner. I know in your case, you were a big brother. And so the dad not being in the picture just kind of came along with that, because that was kind of like the role that you were already set to play to begin with. So I would expect that you had, at least in most of your dealings with YFs, the mother was primarily who you dealt with, obviously. Right?
Yes. And most of her kids were adopted, and they came from different families, so there were potentially multiple dads, but none of them were in the picture.
Wow, yeah.
So I got through time, I became a basically huge part of that family, and I made some decisions. I helped out fixing things around the house. That's when I was able to do things. I fixed things at the house, painted rooms, helped with numerous things.
Mm-hmm. You really took up the dad role there.
And well,
for not just one boy, but for the family.
For everybody, and mm-hmm. at one point in time, actually, depending on the situation, handed out punishment and restrictions and sent to rooms and things with all of them. Mm, so yeah. I became a huge part of the family.
Right, right.
And I would have rather dealt with the mom than the dad, because like you mentioned, I believe there would be more suspicion mm-hmm. from the dad, because
yeah, that seems to be a common thing that I've picked up with, like on the boards and in chats talking with BLs, that they would rather deal with the mom.
Right, and the second family I was with the three boys, there was a dad, never met him. He was a piece of garbage. Didn't want to meet him.
Uh-huh.
He was a piece of garbage, and I didn't want to meet him and had nothing to do with him. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that we see that commonly where, and this has been in both of the situations here with Dragon Lover and with you, where the mom needed help, kind of. And in both of your cases, you kind of stepped in there and took on the dad role for different reasons and in different capacities, but still.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, XO. I believe you had a number of YFs.
Okay.
But
and all this time, yes, I've had a number of YFs over the years. I have a long, distinguished career, as it were. And I have generally tried to avoid the fathers. In fact, in all this time, I have never met the father of any boy that I have ever known. Nor have I spoke to them on the phone. I have found, or at least it's been beneficial for me, that single women with multiple children are always looking know, consciously or unconsciously, for someone to handle their older son who is being a problem. And that scenario has played out. I don't know how many times.
That's a common thing. Then you're saying that you've seen.
I think it is a common thing. And in fact, there was a one situation where it was the younger son that the mother specifically was looking for a man companion for her son, and it just turned out to be me.
She wanted him to have a male role model that was missing, and so she was hoping to find one. Is that what you're saying?
Well, to be a companion and a friend to her son, yes. And that worked out really well. We had a good relationship. But his older brothers, they wanted to get in on it too. But
okay, so they saw you and your relationship with him, and they wanted to be friends with you also. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, they did. The first time I met him, his mother and his older brothers told me, they were clearing me in, that he was a nudist.
Oh, and, wow.
You know, I didn't say anything, but I thought, well, you know, that works for me. And the first time I brought him...
A lot of kids are.
And the first time I brought him home, standing right there in front of his mother, he pursed his lips and wanted a kiss. So I did it.
And
she kind of raised she kind of raised her eyebrows a little bit, but that was it.
Uh-huh. And let me ask, how old was he?
10.
10, okay.
And he had an 11-year-old and a 13-year-old brother.
That's kind of like an age where it's still like both the little kid and the older kid in one. Like he might be the little kid in sometimes and then shift into the older kid role, you know, at other times, you know, at that age. Like with mine, like he would sometimes act like a little kid and then sometimes act more grown up and try to talk more grown up. And so it would be like, am I dealing with the kid one or the grown up version of him? You know,
well, I think that's common for kids to do that sometimes,
especially at that age, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, sometimes the situation or the conversation is so serious that they respond to it in a more serious manner, or maybe a dog or dog. And then other instances where that's not necessary, the kid comes out. Yeah,
the kid comes out more playful.
Yeah, playful is good.
And they're kind of at that age capable of being both. Like if you go to, like, say, the 15-year-old, he'd mostly be like, you know, he's the teenager all the time. You're not going to see him like wanting to do the childish things still. But
not,
like a 10 or 11-year-old, he might still want to do the kid things. You know, well, at times when necessary, he might then be act like or talk like a teenager.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about anybody else, but I am my chronological age, going on 14. So I still like to do some fun childish things, you know.
Right.
And I think that's part of the thing. You have to like that and have to be able to do that with your YF when that occasion arises. So.
Yes, and we're able to, like, as boy lovers, we're able to be that way, you know, and
yes,
to relate to him on that level.
That's an important aspect of being a boy lover.
Right, yes, exactly. Have you ever had the situation, though, where you had a YF with both parents there?
Never.
No? Okay, have you had a situation where it was with a single dad?
No.
Oh, okay.
I have never met the fathers of any of the boys that I've ever known. Not one.
Wow, okay. I think, like I've said, that's inherent in the situations where the scenarios where we meet a boy it's kind of like that. That's part of the reason why we meet him or become part of his family unit is the missing father to begin with.
Well, I try to avoid that to begin with because I'm not comfortable with that. To me, it seems like he can see right through me, you know. And
is that what you feel like sometimes? Yeah. That's what I was saying with my first young friend, and he said, "Well, just come on over." And it was his dad there, and his dad was making him do chores, and I saw the boys. He's in the back vacuuming, you know, it was chore time, because I wanted to see if he could go and play soccer at the school. His dad said, "Well, come back in an hour when he's done with his chores," and I, like I said, I was terrified. Mostly, yeah, of his dad, especially because he being like a strict ex-military man. I was worried that he was suspicious of my intentions, and I even had like a kind of a speech prepared letting him know that, you know, don't worry, I'm okay. I'm not, you know, going to, you know, try to do what you might think. You know, I'm not that guy that you can trust me with him. But surprisingly, like I said, he was very accepting of me initially at first, much more than I expected him to be. I was hoping that we would have a panelist who also has dealt with a dad. With all three of you, it's been with the mothers only, which is fine. But we also have Nicholas, who was not able to make it, like I said, but he has a recording prepared, which we're going to play. Why don't we go ahead and play that right now?
Hey, you guys, thanks for including me on this. It's a great topic. Which do you prefer to deal with, the father or the mother? Yeah, I would say whoever is there. And it's interesting, too, that you all say, you know, we've had several panelists here today who said the trust came first and the friendship with the parent or whatever. And then, oh, surprise, there's, a boy involved somehow, or their trust in you is so pronounced that they just like, here, take my kid, you know. And a non-BL would hear this and think, oh, that's just all we're after is just grooming for sex. But it's more about the relationship with the kid. I just want to say that out there because this could sound pretty, pretty awful if it just makes it sound like we're hiding in the bushes to do whatever with your kid. It's more about we just love being with the kid. And honestly, I have had some wonderful relationships with the parents. There was a dad who lived down the street from me. And I had a young son, too. That helps a whole lot in building trust, you know, that my son was little. Well, my wife was out of town one time, and he was a single dad, his wife, and he had split up. But he had these three beautiful boys, probably about 7, 8 years old, something like that. But one night he just came over, I remember, and watched pornos with me, which I couldn't have cared less about. But, you know, still he was, I considered him a friend. He passed away, and then the boys were over even more, and they just kind of hang out and stuff and in the backyard and everything. And so I had sort of a, I guess they were built-in YFs there. But yeah, and then the grandmother was taking care of the boys and everything like that. And I was just like family to them, you know, and so it should be. It was a great relationship. And those boys, they're grown now. They're in their early 20s, and they come by the house every now and then, say hi. They moved on. They moved away from the neighborhood years ago. But that was great. And then a little bit more recently, maybe about, 8 to 10 years ago, there's another boy that lived close by. And again, our sons had played together. His older, much older brother had played with my son some. And then, so I'd built that trust with both the mother and father, not trying to do that, not with the end goal being, you know, let your kid come over. But this kid would knock on the door every time I was home alone, it seemed like, and he wanted to come over and just hang out. And it was great. We'd watch movies together. He loved playing YouTube on my computer. And so I think whoever is there, but if you have the choice, I would say I kind of prefer dealing with the dad because I feel like in some ways I can relate better to a man. But the mom, you know, she can be sweet and everything too. So it really is whoever is there. I hate to say it kind of sound wishy-washy, but I'd lean toward the father. But if it's just the mom too, absolutely be a friend. And I've known some BLs who've had very rich relationships with a single mother who needs a man of some kind of strong kind of example for their son. And it's a beautiful thing. And that's all I have to say. But thanks again for including me, you all, and back to the topic at hand.
And so that was what Nicholas had to say about it and his experiences and opinions with that subject, which is mom or dad, which would you, as a boy lover, rather deal with, and why? Now, we can have this topic again with other panelists in the future who have had different experiences and different things to bring to the table about the subject. But before we wrap this up, what I'd like to ask any of you three, do you have anything more you'd like to add?
I do.
Go ahead.
Sorry. All right. Just very quick. I don't know if you all know how my relationship ended, but let's just say Victor went down a couple of wrong roads. He started stealing pills.
Oh,
and
boy.
He was selling them on the street, and unfortunately he sold to the wrong two guys, because those guys came back armed, guns out, ready to kill everybody in the house because he didn't sell what they thought it was.
Oh my God.
Really,
was he really doing that on like to rip them off or to
I just don't like, think he knew what he was
swindle
doing.
Them or
I don't think he was doing that intent, like swindling them. I think he honestly
mistake.
An honest mistake, but it was not a mistake to those guys.
Yeah, yeah.
I have been on the receiving end of somebody who's going to shoot me in less than 5 seconds if I don't shut up.
That's scary.
That's what kind of cut it for me. I said, listen, I got to get out of here because, you know, I'm sorry, but I have got to go. I cannot take that.
Was he older at that point? Because had you been there a few years?
Yeah. Been there for a few years. And by that time,
so he was.
He was 13. Yep.
13. He was 13 when this happened?
Yep.
Okay.
Happened
wow.
In 2016. So he's gone on about 22 now. He was born in 2002. So yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I didn't know that's how it ended. And you consciously left because of that. I hope that he changed his ways and he's not, you know, living that kind of risky lifestyle anymore. I'm sure you do as well. Hope that he, you know, straightened out. So
yeah. Actually, believe it or not, just a couple days ago, I tried to look up Bernadette and the family on Facebook. I found Bernadette, and there was a picture of the family taken about a year ago. I think it was for Bianca's wedding. And he looks good. He's a lot taller, but he looks good. Yeah. So I'm hoping
he's
out of trouble. I really do.
So he's not like all tatted up, and by looks good, you mean he's good looking, or you mean he looks like he's living a decent life?
Actually both. I mean, he was wearing a tuxedo. He was very well dressed, very well.
Oh, nice.
Any tattoos anywhere? But he's still the same baby face Victor to me.
Yeah. I know that how that is, because I saw, I was talking about my young friend Mike there with the strict dad, and I looked him up on it was actually MySpace and then Facebook, but he, it was weird seeing him older like that, you know, and taller, but yeah, you know, you look at the face and see the same boy, you know, that you knew before, but okay, so. Do you, Wolf or Exo, have anything else to add about this, the mom or the dad?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah, I have one last thing that I would like to say.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, though, you can tell just by looking at them whether these boys are well taken care of, which is what you were referring to in the picture. Right.
Yeah.
Or if they're being neglected somewhat, just by looking at them, the haircut, how clean or dirty they are, the clothes they're wearing, the shoes they're wearing, all that kind of stuff, and the way they act, you can tell whether they're being well taken care of or whether they're not.
Yes, it's very true.
Okay. And I would like to tell everyone that we have a large, vibrant BL community. And if you're out there, you feel alone and isolated, unsure, not sure about your feelings, whatever, let me tell you that you are not alone. It has been the same for a lot of people. And I would suggest strongly that you join a BL community. We have a big one online. You can join one of the message boards. You can read our magazine. You can listen to our radio station. And you can be a BL.
Right.
That's it.
Right. And you can enjoy life as a BL. You don't have to, it doesn't have to be miserable, like a cursed existence, you know.
Well, you know, you don't have to accept that. They want you to have a cursed existence, but you don't have to accept that, you know. And there's nothing wrong with being a BL, you know, as long as you don't abuse children, don't rape them, all that kind of stuff. They've got to be their decision and blah, blah, blah. As long as you do that and you behave properly, there is nothing to be ashamed of and no reason not to be respected or respect yourself.
Well said. Yes. Absolutely. Thank you, Exo, for that. Okay, well, thank you also, Dragon Lover, Wolf Runner, and Nicholas. For taking part, and thank everybody who's listening for listening to this podcast. This is BL Talk. I am your host, Zoom 4, and you can listen to BL Talk previous episodes on bl-talk.com and at the BL Library, which is bl-library.org. And if any of you have topics that you would like us to discussed in future episodes, or if you would like to take part and be a panelist, just let any of us know. Contact us through our emails or the official BL Talk email, which is bl-talk@protonmail.com. All right, I'd like to invite you guys to listen next time, and until then, have a great week. Thank you, everyone.
Take care.
Bye.
Take care.
The opinions and viewpoints expressed on BL Talk are solely those of the individual participant or speaker and do not reflect the official stance of Wired PM Radio or any of its affiliates.